Three surefire ways that we can ruin our families. And so I want you to pay attention. Read in Ezekiel. It's funny. Everybody wants a book or a seminar or a conference or something that somebody's going to give them that's going to help their marriage or it's going to help their family or it's going to help their Christian home. And look, I read books. I go to conferences. I do the, you know, all of that. Those are all good things to do, but we tend to lose focus, I think, sometimes that there's something that precedes the nuts and bolts of these things. We want a nut and a bolt. We want things that we have to do, and this message is going to be a little bit different than that. I believe that if we can get to the heart of the matter, the nuts and bolts go together a lot easier. And in Ezekiel chapter number 16, let's start reading at verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty. Who's he speaking about? This is the nation of Israel. And playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was. They left the Lord. And God, their idolatry, God is comparing them to an harlot. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. That's strong language. God told that nation, you have left me to worship whatever it is you can find, and it became an idol. From their garments to their colors to everything they did, and God calls them whores for doing that. That's strong. They sold themselves to idolatry. Verse number 19, my meat also, which I give thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord. You know what happened to this nation and between God and that nation? There was a breach of trust. They stopped trusting God and they went after idols. Even the flour God blessed them with. Even the oil, even the sweet things of honey God blessed them with. Whatever it was, they turned it into idolatry. And if we're not careful, I know this is for the nation, but if we are not careful, we can take the good things that God has given us and turn it into idolatry. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my family, but I can't worship my family as God. And we should all love our spouses and our children and our grandchildren. But I can't get my wife to heaven and she can't get me to heaven. We should both, and we should all, and all of us should be looking to the Lord so that we don't take something good that God has blessed us with and make it an idol. A breach of trust is the most damaging thing that can happen to a relationship. And let's get Galatians chapter number 5. The first surefire way that we can ruin our families is to have a breach of trust. Spouses losing trust in each other, children losing trust with their parents, and all of us losing trust with what the Lord has done for us. Galatians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife. He is the church, the head of Christ, the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And we can argue, wives got the verses for the husbands, husbands got the verses for the wives. I'm in Ephesians. I'm sorry. But the last verse I'm going to read here is where we need to be. Hold your finger in Galatians. We're going to get back there. verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let me just tie this thought up and then we'll get back to where I asked you to turn. Sorry about that. But we know the verses to give each other, but we all need to be sanctified by the word. Is God's word more important than knowing the verses to throw at each other? Let's get back, let's go back to Galatians. Let's get back to Galatians. Here's our solution. Galatians 5, the end of the chapter, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. To live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What is the solution to a breach of trust? It's right here. The fruit of the Spirit. If we would grab a hold of being able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the nuts and bolts and the do's and don'ts and the things to do and not do would all fall into place a lot easier. We're controlled and walking in the Spirit. Hit Matthew chapter 20 and Luke chapter 22. Matthew 20 and Luke 22. The Bible says in Matthew 20, verse number 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The greatest ministry that Jesus Christ had was he came and he ministered. He came and he gave. And for us, that should be our likeness, to be like Christ. Why are we here? To minister to each other. Why do our families exist? To minister to them. The things of Christ. We have to stop. We know the, you know, I've said this before, we know the art to buy and put on our wall. We know the bumper sticker and the shirt to wear. But we need to have, we have to start ministering like Christ did. He gave. No, we can't give our life for someone else. Romans 12 says we can present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Look at Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 27. Watch what it says. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Husbands come home after work. You know what they say? I am he that sitteth at meat. Yeah. I'm telling you, we get home and that's the first thing on our mind. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, but I am among you as he that servant. Honey, I'm home. I'm here to serve. Our day doesn't end when we get home. Our day starts. Why? Because we're there to serve our family. I can preach this stuff. I can't live it 100% of the time, but it preaches. It preaches. That's true. That should be said. Instead of, honey, what's for dinner? It's, honey, how can I help? What do you need? Do you need me to take the kids? Do you need some help with something? Why? Because we're here to minister. We're here to serve. We're here to not come home as the king of the castle and I'm ready to sit at the meat.
No.
But we know the acronym. Everybody have heard joy, Jesus first, others second, and then yourself last. I mean, we know the cliche, but are we willing to put ourselves last? You don't typically see people trying to cut to get to the end of the line. You typically see them trying to cut to get to the beginning of the line. Jesus made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Get 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Christian men typically say, my wife is the problem, she doesn't meet my needs. Maybe Christian men are the problem. Maybe they should be saying, you know what, my wife needs a better husband. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Does your wife have a brain? She's allowed to think. Does your wife have a tongue? She's allowed to talk. If she has a brain that works and she has a tongue that works, you know it's okay, fellas, for our wives to give us advice? I'm talking about a breach of trust. When trust is broken, well, I don't want to hear from you. And the other person don't want to hear the other person. What happened? There's a breach of trust in that relationship. And you know where that's going to filter down to? Children. And you don't have to say anything to them. These kids are smart and they figure it out. I'll tell you a personal story. My wife and I first got married, we had problems. And so we went and saw the counselor, the preacher at the church. We had 2 or 3 counseling sessions. You know what the problem was? My wife told the preacher, there's gym drops all around the house, like gum drops instead of I just leave stuff all over. Because at heart, I'm a multitasker. I got a project going on over here. I got paper going on over here. I got something going on over here. And when I leave this, I go to that. When I leave this, I go to that. And by the end of the week, I'm back to this. I know where my stuff is. But nobody else knows, and she doesn't know. I could have saved myself. I could have saved my wife. I could have saved the preacher, although he got a good kick out of it. We're talking about a preacher that didn't have all the doctrine that we would think he should have, but he knew one thing. There's been a breach of trust here. Now, he didn't use those words, but I could have saved myself and my wife the time if I would have just listened to her and cleaned up my stuff and helped her be able to run the house the way she wants to run it. Well, I'm the head of the house. Yeah, you are. And as the head, just try to help out so people respect you enough to look at you as the head. I could have saved 3 hours of time, but instead I wanted to do it my way. And if we're not careful, we can make ourselves an idol in our own house. John 12. Here's what we're called to do, man. We're called to serve Christ, follow Christ, and God will be honored. John chapter 12, watch what it says. If any man, John chapter 12, verse number 26, John 12:26, if any man serve me, that would be Jesus, let him follow me, that would be Jesus, and where I am, there shall also my servant be? Well, I'm a follower of Christ. Well, I serve Christ. Do we? That's a reflection of Jesus Christ. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There's no suggestion of us getting any type of worldly trinket or trophy or award. It will be honoring to the Father if we serve and imitate Jesus Christ. John 13. John chapter 13. People think that if you're a preacher, when people come to church, they expect to hear a Bible message. That's reasonable. They expect the preacher to be studying the Bible and giving a scriptural message, not a political message, not a social message, not an entertainment message. We all get that, right? Every man struggles with the same things. I am not as spiritual as I want to be. I feel inadequate. I feel like a failure at many times in my life. And I'm going to tell you why. I can deal with high stress situations. At least I think I can. Most, or if not all of you know that I work at a secular job. I have a business in the secular world. And we run these tournaments. And it's a lot of high energy. It's a lot of alpha males in the same room. And I will sit and listen to an instructor or a coach complain and argue with me and accuse me of things. And I will listen to that. I will soak it in. I will stay calm. I will stay patient. I will resolve the situation the way a Christian man ought to. And then I will go home, and when my wife says something that sets me off, I don't show the same patience. I'm telling you, I'm a failure. I am an absolute failure. Because I can't serve God. There's been a breach of trust in families, and that's the heart of the matter. A breach of trust. How can you call yourself a Christian man? How can you call yourself a preacher? How can you call yourself a servant? How can you call yourself a follower of Christ when you can't even be patient with your wife and children, yet you can do it in the secular world? I'm nothing. And I found in my life, the lower I can get, the better I am. Because I'm telling you, the more you study the Bible, the more you teach the Bible, the more you find out you're worthless without Christ. This is why people say ignorance is bliss. What did they do? My friend told me, my best friend from New Jersey, he told me, he said, Jimmy, I don't want to know anything else. I ain't with too much Bible, too much this, too much that. So he told me years ago, I don't want to know. Why? Because there's some truth to, if I don't know, I'm not accountable. And I'm just telling you, the more we study the Bible, the more we figure out we're just absolute failures. I'm amazed. Are we in John 13? Look at verse 4. John 13, look at verse 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. We need men. We need to stop coming home with a list of demands, and we need to come home and grab a towel and grab a basin and quit it with the demands. A guy can spend an hour at the office around the water cooler doing the talk. He can spend an hour after work at the gym around the... And then he comes home and he's got a list of demands. Instead of coming home, you know what he needs? He needs what Jesus does. Jesus has. He needs to stop toweling himself off after a long workout in the gym. And he needs to grab a towel and a basin and serve. That's what we're called to do as men. Talking and praying with the wife is out of the question. We want the TV, we want the remote control, and we want to know, and we want everybody to know in the house, don't bother Dad. It's a breach of trust. But we'll be the first ones to say, hey, let's buy a book or go to a Bible conference. That'll help our marriage. No! Trust needs to be reestablished. And then the nuts and bolts and tools and all that will start working properly. But until trust has been resolved, it is going to be the same thing. We need to grab some basins. We need to grab some towels. Everybody looks at preacher's kids. They call them PKs. Preacher's kids. Everybody looks at the preacher's kids and measures how good the preacher is based on how his kids act. That's just the way it goes. When the kids misbehave, everybody thinks, well, the preacher, he needs better kids. His kids need to be more well behaved. Preachers could even start thinking this. I just wish my kids would. No. The kids need a better preacher. The kids need a better father. That's what they need. We want to take away the responsibility, and we want to find somebody else to blame. Something's going, I'm not talking about adult children that are out of the house doing their own thing. I'm talking about we have children in our home, man. It is our responsibility to train them. It's our responsibility. If something were to go wrong here at Pilgrim, you know what people are going to say? Well, the preacher allowed that. The preacher didn't address that. And every time situations like that happen, what do you think, the doctrine of the church changed? But it fell on the preacher. And after that, a situation like that happens, the doctrine stays the same. Why? Because someone is held responsible for the actions and the activities that go along at a local church, at a local church house. Men, the same thing for our homes. If something goes wrong at our homes, you know who we should be pointing the finger to? Ourselves. Father let that slide. The father didn't. The father... And I'm going to tell you the problem. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, for therefore we labor, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. You know who we want to trust in? Ourselves. And what my concern is I look around at churchianity in America, preachers are more concerned with making a name for themselves rather than magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And fathers are more concerned with making a name for themselves at their job or their business, or they're just fill in the blank, whatever hobby they're into, rather than magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have had a breach of trust, and we have stopped trusting. We know what we're supposed to say, but we have stopped trusting in the living God. I'm a retired jiu-jitsu fighter, jiu-jitsu instructor. Some of you are thinking, really? Yeah. T-word, retired. I don't want to fight anymore. I got another fight I'm fighting. A good fight. If I had a student that was there every day, helping out with the classes, star student, everybody looked up to him. He went to the tournaments. He always won gold. He'd bring that gold medal back to the academy. We'd have a big trophy display of all the awards that this person won. Won multiple world championships. you would be thinking, man, if I had that type of student, that would be great. Isn't that wonderful? It is. Except if he's doing all of that and putting all that time in, and it's at the expense of his family, who won and who lost? Let me give you another thought. Fathers, I gave you the picture of me, and that's a student at an academy. Now let me give you this thought. Now that's a man that comes to me as a father and wants to marry my daughter. There's a breach of trust, because you know where his heart is, you know where his time is. It's not going to be with my daughter. He is going to put his life into himself and his goals and what he wants to do. And he's going to be the big man at the academy. He's going to win all the world championships. And my daughter's going to be sitting home crying. Breach of trust. Breach of trust. We need to be careful. We don't have all the Bible memorized, all of our doctrine right. But in our mind, we're really the living God. We're really the Savior. We need to be careful. Everybody okay? Okay, James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. Ladies, you're not going to force your husband or argue your husband into being what you want him to be. Let's start off by saying that, and now we'll read the Bible. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Ladies, be gentle. Ladies, be easy to be entreated. That means you're not being cruel. You're not being overbearing. Ladies, make peace. Peace. Have a peaceful home. It says without partiality. That means if you're partial, you're going to choose one side over the other. You're partial to that one side. Women are too easily dazzled by the Pinterest and the Facebook and the YouTube and how everything is staged to look oh so nice in the stores. I'm not saying do those or don't do this. My point is this. My point is, if it causes you to be distracted, none of that stuff is the wisdom. What does it say? You want to get the wisdom that is from above. None of that is wisdom from above. That's all wisdom of the will. That's what I like to see. That's what I want. I'm not saying don't like things and don't get things. What I'm saying is we need to be careful that we're not so distracted that we forget about the wisdom from above. We're so concerned about the wisdom that we see. Wisdom from above, and James 3 gives it to us. Here, okay, ladies, do this. Pick your favorite author, pick your favorite blog, pick your favorite Bible conference, pick your favorite seminar. Spend 3 days at the Couples for Christ marriage conference and then come home and then have your husband make a decision that goes against what the seminar said. And you be at peace at it. He's the head. Really? See, it's easier said than done. What if your husband picks a church, a home church, that isn't your favorite pick? Because you read this, researched that, did it. No. And the conference said, the book said, and the seminar said, but your husband made a decision. Can you be okay with that? You know what the tough thing is? Well, praise God. I'm glad my husband, is the head. I don't have to make decisions. Well, one, really? Are you sure about that? Sure you want that? Now, if he doesn't lean on your advice, and he doesn't lean on your thoughts, and he doesn't lean on what you have to contribute, and he wants to treat you that way, okay, that's on him. He's going to suffer the consequences of him being the Lone Ranger. The other end of it is, are you okay with your husband being the head, and if push comes to shove and a decision has to be made, he makes the decision, but it don't sit right with you. It's tough. The other side of it is, you know how much pressure is on men to make the right decision? You know, there's times in my life where I just wish I didn't have to make a decision. Do you know how bad that makes me feel? You know, there's times in my life where I've made a decision and then I second guess it and I said, should I have made that decision for my family? Well, husband is the head. It ain't that easy. It's not that easy to be expected to make the right decision 100% of the time. It's not that easy. Well, don't you have the Bible? I do. Don't you? How come you don't know what to do? I'm telling you, the wisdom from above, should bring us peace in the midst of when there's this split between decisions. Now, a lot of this I'm talking about, most of this I'm talking about, is for normal, everyday, common folk, marriages and families. We're not talking about a narcissistic, abusive deal. We're talking about what we would deem as the common problems that we all face. All right, this would not be a message for somebody in abuse. They would need some additional help. Let's get Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 5, and then Colossians chapter 3. Being around church for quite a long time now and seeing a lot of different relationships come and go in a variety of different churches, you would be surprised how many marriages are actually run by the woman. But the best thing you can do, wives, to train your children to obey you and to obey their father is to submit and reverence your own husband. Now, I said the two dirty words that you're not allowed to say. Submit and reverence. And that doesn't mean if you get into an argument, gentlemen, that we just throw these two verses at our wives. It means that if a wife really wants to help her children and train her children, then she really needs to get a hold of these verses. Because if she doesn't submit and reverence her own husband, she's going to single-handedly train her daughter to wear out her future husband. She'll be just as demeaning. She'll be just as spiritually abusive. She'll be just as irreverent and just as unsubmissive as you are, if that's how you are. Psalm 34 says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Now look at verse 22 in Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Don't read a book by your favorite author and submit to him. Submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. That means to submit, to put the yield sign up, not the go sign. Surrender your willpower and your self-will. The ugliest thing for a Christian woman to have is a go sign without a yield sign. You need to be able to yield. Look at verse 33. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The definition of reverence is to regard with fear mingled with respect and affection. Him? I'm not going to respect him. I'll fear God. I'm not fearing that old man. He better get his butt home. He better not stay out. He better not do it. If you don't submit in reverence, the only person that isn't honored, that matters, is God. If you think you're going to be able to submit in reverence to Him by looking at Him, guess again, ladies. The only way you're going to be able to submit in reverence to your own husband is to look to God, to keep your eyes off of your husband. You got to look to God to be honored. And if God is honored, that is the end goal of the relationship, for God to be honored. You know why some men stay at the office late? They stay at the gym late? And when they do get home, they turn on the one-eyed idiot box? Because the only place they get respect is at the office. The only respect they get is at the gym. The only respect they get is at the hunt club. And that is why they pour their lives into those things. And ladies, if you would just so reverence and so submit to your husband, he would pour his life into you. Well, what if he doesn't? Well, was God honored? Wives, you're more powerful than you think, and you can absolutely crush your husband's expectations or his visions or his whatever by winning all the arguments, by letting him know you can't, he can't meet all the demands. Submit in reverence. There's a reason why Proverbs 21:9 says it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. God says this twice. He says it again in Proverbs 25. Honey, why are you repairing the roof? There's no leaks. I'm finding one. I'll create one so I can get up on the roof and fix something and get away from you. Now, he doesn't say that. What does he do? He grabs the ladder. He goes up there. He comes down at 5 o'clock for some food. What does it say in Proverbs 29, verse 19? It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. I'm going hunting. Why? Because he can shoot the deer. That's why. Look, these are serious principles. God's, you know, I think he adds that in there for a little bit of humor, because we all know what happens. Ephesians 5. What does it say in verse 25? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now try to use that verse on him when he's up on the roof trying to get away from you. Try to use that verse on him when he's out in the woods somewhere, wandering around, pacing. Try to use that verse on him. Well, the Bible says you should. That's why Colossians 3, let's go there. Let's get over to there now. Colossians 3, verse number 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know why? Because husbands, when you love your wives and they don't respond the way you want them to respond, and they don't receive it the way that you want them to receive it, God tells you to not get bitter at them. I'm going to love them, Lord, but if they don't respond, then I'm... No. God says love them, and when they don't respond and they don't receive, you don't get bitter. Well, okay so far, that's the breach of trust. Part number two, training. Training. We have children, we have grandchildren. Homeschooling is raising a generation of marshmallow men. You know why? Because the mama's doing all the work. And some of this stuff should be called mama schooling. It's called homeschooling because the home is involved, both father and mother. And I'm not bragging. I'm not complaining. I'm just using this as an example. My son knows how to use a 170 chainsaw. He can cut down trees. He can drive a tractor. He can do a Z-turn. He can dig a ditch. He can carry hay. He can shoot a BB gun. He can shoot a 22. And he can fight. What do you think? When I come home from work, my wife's out back showing him how to use the chainsaw? No! She's not doing any of that. My daughter, she can shoot a 22. She can shoot a BB. She can run a Z-turn. She can dig a hole. She can carry wood. She can work a screw gun. She can help me build a tree fort. She can do all of that. And she can fight. Why does she got to learn how to fight? Because if anybody gets fresh, she's going to know how to take her thumb, put it in her eyeball, make sure it comes out with eyeball juice. That's why. Okay? You think my wife's at home showing her how to swing the hammer and work the drill gun? No. Who's doing that? That would be me. Now, can I be doing more of it? Sure. Am I always looking to improve? I am. But this idea of mama raising the kids and homeschooling them, the boy's going to turn out to be a marshmallow and the girl's going to turn out to be marrying a marshmallow. They need to have some ruggedness. They need to have some toughness. They need to be able to deal with the rigors of life and not get squashed like a marshmallow. I'm telling you, we had a situation earlier in the month, and I had to take my son aside. I had to speak to him because there were some boys at the park that said some things to my daughter, and it didn't go the way that I had thought it should have gone. So I had to bring my son aside, and I said, look, you have got to be man enough to be embarrassed, to be laughed at, to be slapped, to be pushed, to stand up for your sister. I'm not going to allow him to get away with being a marshmallow. He's got to be able to stand up. And we have got to teach our children to stand up for the Lord. And we can do that in a variety of ways, but let's go ahead and move on. Here's the other problem with homeschooling, or here's the other problem, not even with homeschooling, just with Christian homes in general. Well, I spend quality time, not quantity time, which is a lie, because the quality comes from the quantity. You know, a good witnessing encounter, you know what that comes from? Hours of witnessing. You know, you sign your kid up for BB gun and they do really well at the trial. Man, that was quality time. You know, it was an hour at the trial and they won. Yeah, you know why it was quality? Because they spent quantity of hours shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting. You know, when we drill moves, you know what it says with Michael Jordan, how many shots he missed? 9,000 shots. Yeah, but he made the one shot and it won the game so many times. What quality? Yeah, it came from quantity of practice. Quality of time comes from quantity of time. We have to find ways to schedule in more quantity. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, you all know it, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what the verse before it says? Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. And I think too many parents have too many thorns and snares, too many difficulties, too many distractions, too many excuses. This is why parents get annoyed, they get frustrated, because they have other things on their mind, and so they yell and spank instead of train. You know, there's a difference. There's reasons why to chastise, and then there's other reasons why to train. You take your child out and spank them when they spill the milk? Maybe the child's just so excited to be able to sit down at the table with dad. He don't need to be spanked. Maybe dad or maybe mom never took the time to let them know and train them put the milk over here so it's not behind your elbow. Maybe dad or mom needs to teach him not to reach across the table. Or maybe dad needs to reach across the table and spill the milk on purpose. And just lighten the mood a little bit. Titus 1:6 says, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Every parent will say that they want to have faithful children. It's going to take work, and it's going to take training. We finish out. I want to have a few more thoughts. One is this. How do I, as a parent, train my children to not be self-righteous, to not be prideful, to not be bratty? And I'm going to give you an answer that you might think isn't an answer. Because we're looking to do something or say something to make it work. I think that the answer really is for mom and dad to not be self-righteous or prideful or bratty. I really think that's the answer. And then I think off of that, those other things fall in place. It's not more rules. It's more trust. It's not more commands. It's more training. It's not more me. It's more serve. The three surefire ways that parents ruin their homes is by breach of trust, failure to serve, and inability to train. The Bible said we should just loosen up. When mom and dad seek forgiveness from each other, the children will learn forgiveness. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Bible says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Our ultimate goal as parents is to show them Christ as the path of life. Without Christ, the path is confusing. Without Christ, the path is ultimately going to lead to hell. The best thing we can teach them is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The best thing we can teach our children is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. And the best thing we can teach our children is to be trained by Jesus Christ by reading and believing and obeying the Bible. With Christ, our children will have true purpose and they'll have true direction. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Trust Jesus, serve Jesus, and be trained by Jesus. Let's balance.